today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
I love how your loved ones flock to you at all the wrong moments in life.
Yeah, I know. Teddy and I were having that discussion. Hi, who's going to die if they get it? This guy. I die. I've been reading all those articles. I die instantaneously. If I get this, but
I will actually stay at work sometimes and say I gotta really take care of this equipment upstairs and just sit alone in the dark because I need alone time. I need alone time just for old Fantana for 2 hours without any questions. So,
Oscar, are you saying really, if she were to have an affair, you'd be okay with it?
I would understand at this point. I would understand.
Okay, then I need to talk to you after the show.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Well, looks like I'm having a hair day again.
Well, you know what? It really, I've watched you. We had some visit time before the program today, and I watched you take your headphones on and off. The headphones really help your haircut.
Thank you.
Yeah, you can't tell unless you actually, like, you're looking down that way.
Yeah.
It's very, like, what is it? Like
with Valkyrie is the word you're looking for.
Valkyrie, yes.
Yeah, it's a Nazi haircut.
Yeah.
It's a Nazi haircut.
Very, very lean on the sides.
You think people that don't know you saw you roll into town?
I'd send you to the front if I didn't think you'd be Montgomery's whore.
They're from Florida, and look at that haircut.
Yeah. They drove up, you know.
I still don't, I have my sensibilities during the COVID that haircuts are not one of the things yet. I don't, the idea of the proximity, the idea of the stories when you read about 140 people getting infected in a salon, you know, that to me is one of the deals. By the way,
Mike, there's a great barbershop in Tulsa. I don't know if you have the time to make the trip, but if you can really get yourself looking good.
You are obsessed with Tulsa and the fact that the cases spiked.
You could have written this story a month ago. That's why it drives me crazy. I'm sorry. I won't mention Tulsa anymore.
The glee for the bad news is really not something that, you know, we all are celebrating.
What Rob is talking about is that's where the rally was.
Yes.
There was no mask wearing. There was no social distancing. You know, we talk about that all the time. I want to talk about technology and
technology.
In particular
the love technology.
Yes,
the iPhone.
Oh.
The iPhone X, which I have had a bad relationship with. I don't know how long I've had it. How long has it been out?
About a year and a half.
Yeah. Year and a half. Mm-hmm. All right. So I've had this phone for a year, and I do not have the what's that thing where you get the new phones every year that be you sign
you
up
lease,
for that?
You lease.
You the lease Apple the phones lease, yeah, and you get a new phone.
Yeah.
Oscar got that, so he gets the new technology.
Right.
So I've had this phone, and the entire morning I did a very little show prep and a tremendous amount of phone searching. I lost my case. By the way, there's my son with his hockey mask.
Oh, that's
great.
Sweet.
That's my
What do you have on your back cover, Rob, of your phone?
My phone is a picture
Groucho
of...
Groucho Marx?
No, an Elvis record.
Oh,
Don't
nice.
Don't be cruel. Yeah.
I've
got 78 RPM record.
I've got Maui.
Oh, the town in Hawaii.
Yes.
Yes.
Bustling dreaming of Maui. You'll like Oscar's take today because there is a mention of something that might actually appeal to you.
Ooh.
Specifically for you
Can't
on Oscar's
wait.
Take, which I handpick on every Friday. I handpick stories just
curate,
for Oscar
Mike.
Santana.
You curate.
Narrowcast. Curate a bunch of stories for him. So, lost this phone last night, and I have... I understand that they go for sleek, but if you don't have a case on this phone, it is the most elusive, slippery, gets into crack. You remember when I first bought this phone, I destroyed it in the recliner because it slides right down there. It's the only thing, this doesn't work for me. This is sleek and it's space age and it's very nice, but it's not all that easy to handle. It's a little larger than it needs to be.
Why no case all these years?
I had a case.
Uh-huh.
The case I had, it fell because it's slippery even with a case on. It fell from the chair to the floor, and the case, little plastic thing, shattered, which I guess is some sort of glass. I thought the whole idea to get those cases. So I'm in the market right now looking at a case, and I will probably pursue that at some point this weekend. But this device,
this was not, it wasn't in your recliner, was it?
No, it was underneath the recliner. That's the sound when we first got it. It doesn't do well in the chair. It slides.
Slides around.
Slippery,
and
slides out of the pocket.
And you wear exclusively nylon as pants, so it slides right out.
I'm not sure if it's nylon, but it's definitely a hybrid synthetic golf short that I wear. And I wore it to a family reunion. Oh, by the way, I wanted to mention this at the front of the show.
Yes.
Congratulations to Ben and baby Zoe, the most. And Ben and Eliza gave birth, I'm not sure how many months ago, but a few months ago. Absolutely spectacular, gorgeous baby. We had a family reunion, meet the baby last night on my cousin's porch. And spectacular baby, and one of the great parts is I'm sitting there talking to my cousin Teddy, and I'm sitting in a chair over by shocker where the hors d'oeuvres were.
Sure.
And as I'm sitting over there, the baby is just staring at me. Ben's holding the baby, and the baby's just doing this blue-eyed little stare. And Eliza and Ben, boy, what a, you made a beautiful child.
That's
absolutely
awesome.
Look, there are babies and there are babies. There are certain babies you look at and go, wow, this is a wonderful, gorgeous child. And we had a social distancing kind of meet the family, although, you know, it wasn't really. It was, you know, everybody's kind of getting closer than they should.
Yeah.
But we're doing the best.
Like, you're okay, right?
You're okay. Stick, no, instead of 6 feet.
Did you guys do a thermo check at the door?
No thermo. They've all been up here for 3 months.
Did they do one for you?
No, they didn't do it. I got tested. The next nervous person coming in is Catherine, who went to L.A. and then came back from L.A., but she's quarantined for, I think she's just passed her 14th day of quarantine, so she's going to be making her way up here, and I think that's kind of cool, you know, she quarantined, but I don't know. The rules are a little tough to follow, you know, right there. What are you thinking, maybe, what?
No, I love
good?
How
what?
Your loved ones flock to you at all the wrong moments in life.
Yeah, I know. Teddy and I were having that discussion. Hi, who's going to die if they get it? This guy. I die. I've been reading all those articles. I die instantaneously if I get this. But
kind of see
my,
him before
I left my
goes.
Sunglasses at my cousin's house too, and then I lost the phone.
Oh no!
So you'll be happy to know, Oscar, that late last night. I mean, right before I went to bed, Carla was sleeping. Shocker. You know, Carla.
I thought you were going to go to bed together. Now I thought you were going to bed.
No, not going to work. No, I can't do that. I got things to do. That's when my thinking happens.
Yeah.
That's when I'm doing all my best thinking when I'm up there. And I do a find my phone on the cloud. I do a find my phone, and the phone pops as close as I can see.
Pops
it looked
positive.
Like it pops positive out. It looked like it was in the car.
Phone has 100.5 temperature.
It's hot.
It's misty. It's foggy. I go out to the car, nothing doing. By the way, that Hertz rental car that I bought with its black interior, if you have this, try to find that. Well, look at the backdrop. Let's hold it up there.
No way.
It's very sleek. It's a sleek Hertz rental car.
I have lost.
Look, right now, I'm holding it against my chest. You can't see it.
No. So, and disadvantage you have is that that iPhone X is almost like a glass material. See, this is the 11, now space gray. Still.
What's the material that's made out of? Is it a different material?
It's not glass like yours is.
Oh, see, I'd like that. And so it's better to hang on to, right?
Yeah, well, even if you put that there, your black one would have disappeared. The gray one, at least you can see a little bit.
Yeah, this one is, it's invisible.
Yeah.
And then, I didn't realize this last night, and it wouldn't have mattered anyway, because you kind of need two people to do this.
Right.
I realized that you can ping your phone. You can make scream.
Mm-hmm.
And so I... it didn't scream, but I wonder if you can adjust the sound so the phone goes, I'm here.
Well,
I'm here.
It sound like
that's
this?
What I would do. Yeah. That's exactly what I did.
So then
yeah.
It's well, super easy
you,
to find.
Well, how come you did that so quickly?
Well, no, because I can ping it from my phone.
Oh, from your watch.
From my iWatch, Mike.
This is Mr. Apple.
Yes.
See, this is Johnny Appleseed right over
when
here.
When I ping
incredible.
My phone, I get...
No, I pinged it. I changed mine. I changed mine. Let me.
Oh, you did?
I can play. I can play too. let me ping my phone right now. Here we go. Ping it.
Yeah.
boy.
Yeah. I wish you could change this thing. That's actually genius. They'd sell that all day.
They would. Where's my phone? Is it here?
Yeah, boy.
Hey, it's on the couch.
Yeah, boy.
That would get someone's attention, that's for sure.
That's true.
That's fun. So anyway, too slippery.
Can I give you a suggestion? Problems. Yeah. The OtterBox family for $50. It's highway robbery.
No, I'm not going to spend $50 for it. No way.
Oh, do you know that the phone's worth over $1,000, Mike?
Yeah. I'm not going to spend $50 on a piece of plastic. It's not going to. You can get one for $29. It's like a leather case.
You know what you're going to get is a $29 insurance policy. The OtterBox is well worth it because it's rubber. It doesn't break when it hits the floor. It bounces, and your phone's saved.
Bumbles bounce, Mike.
Bounce. A black rubber case, Mike. We've always wanted one.
Well, I don't know that he's always wanted one.
Black rubber.
Well, they have a Best Buy up here in Bangor, and I don't want to buy it online. I want to look at it before I buy it.
Cases, and in fairness to you, it's a pain in the ass to return things sometimes. I ordered three different ones because I had the same feeling. I couldn't go.
Yeah, you look at it, and it's kind of like buying something you would wear where you're not sure that getting it online is going to... That's the only thing where online shopping is a disadvantage, because you just can't try it on, sit in it, you know, that type of thing.
And a phone case, it's a pretty intimate relationship. You touch it all the time.
Clothes is different because they give you a sizing chart. They don't give you, and I think this is where the genius of the show comes in. They don't give you a detailed review of what materials are coming your way, especially at the $29.99 level, Mike, because it's from China. They've got a 90%
markup.
Yeah,
you want to touch the material and see the faux leather, how faux it is, and that type of thing.
I have the same situation. There's this wallet that keeps popping up on my Instagram feed, where I stalk people. That would be where I see this wallet that looks like a carbon fiber wallet. It's for bikers. It's not meant really for anybody.
Not motorcycle bikers, like cyclists.
No, like motorcycle, like Ducati bikers.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And speed bikers.
Speed bikes. Yeah.
Some of my friends would say real bikers.
Oh, all right, yeah.
That ride the Ducatis at 110 miles an hour around a diminishing radius curve. They would say, "That's what we do." Yeah. What do you do?
They're not real friends.
I know what the other kind of bikers do. The Harley bikers. They don't floss.
Poor Harley Davidson. They're going. It's goodbye.
Well, they sell a wallet for those bikers, Mike. It's made out of white beard hair.
Well,
white goatee through the fat beard hair.
They're going through a tough time for a heritage brand. It's tough.
Well, you know, I'll tell you. With me, it passed. I have to be completely honest. It passed due to the fact that there was a pretty short window when I got that motorcycle to when I sold my motorcycle, and I haven't looked back. I haven't rented. I haven't done. But I did one event down in Fort Myers, Florida, and then I stopped doing it. I cannot be alone in this. I early on began to resent the biker look. The culture, too, right?
There's sort of a culture.
There was a culture, but you guys were with me when I was all in on my motorcycle events, and I loved doing it. I had big events that were fantastic. That is actually, Rob is playing the sound. I think we recorded that in my garage.
We did.
Of my very first motorcycle. That is the sound of a Harley Davidson Fat Boy that I recorded. And then I at one point on this, I think I roll away on it.
This is the one where you ride away in a sec.
The thing about the culture is, early on, I got tired of the look. I got tired of every single person being... There it goes.
Still wait for the crash.
Sound. No, I'm kidding.
Did you put it down in a drive-thru at one point?
What's that? I bought the bike.
Yeah.
Was it my first bike or my second? I had two. And I think one of the two, I actually went into a McDonald's parking lot. And was like kind of negotiating the curve, and it might have been the second bike that I had that I put down, and actually used my training to stand the 700-pound bike up by myself. There's a knack to it; it requires a little back English to get that bike up. But getting back to the whole thing,
you did not spill the milkshake.
I didn't have a milk shot.
Oh, sorry.
That's a fat joke. Anyway,
it brought all the boys to his yard.
Shot. Fat joke.
How dare you?
Early on, I would be riding. I go, yep, there's another one. Every single guy was old, fat, and had a goatee beard. Every single one. And it got, and I said, this is, I don't want to piss people off because there are a lot of people that ride bikes and I love the machine. I love the open road. They romanticize it like so many hobbies do. I don't need to do that. I liked it. Yeah, it was great being on the road. It was fun. But there was a tough time in my life where I was on the motorcycle and it helped a lot. I was able to kind of go out and meditate when I was on the motorcycle. But I got tired of the whole vibe and I can't be the only person that burned on it. Flash forward down to Florida. I get down to Florida. And I'm looking at 85-year-old people that are out on the roads on a road where it should be 65 miles an hour, going 30 miles an hour with a pickup truck coming back in the right lane going 90 miles an hour. I said, this will kill me.
Yeah.
And there are more motorcycle accidents down there than I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. It happens all the time.
No helmet.
And so I bagged it. I bagged it. But the whole thing
is... But do you feel it was you sort of got it out of your system? It was something that you needed to do for a while?
This is what's going to piss people off.
All right.
There is a subset of people that enjoy the motorcycle lifestyle, all right?
Right.
That the majority of your weekend warriors, your regular guys that put the leather vest on, it is ultimately a wannabe culture because it is ultimately patterned off of a biker gang culture. Where you wear black leather, you wear patches on your back. It's like a Sons of Anarchy thing.
Oh, and, hack mentality, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it is, and I know there are people screaming at me now.
No, I think
you're
spot on because, frankly, I felt the same way about CrossFit, where after a while, like everybody wanted to be a Navy SEAL, and I'm like, all right, we're just getting in shape for vanity. There's nothing else we're doing here.
Yeah, you're not going to protect the nation.
But we all want to be. We, as Americans, we all aspire to be the tough guy.
Yeah.
Men especially.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't care if I'm doing women's weight today. I got women's muscles. Strong women's muscles.
Go to one of those parades where you're looking at the bikers, right? They all have the same look on. Yeah. And I had it. Carla has a picture of me at one of my rides that I did with everybody where my expression on my face is... I'm just kind of going...
Rolling Thunder was cool, though. I was jealous
about
that.
Rolling Thunder was great.
Damn.
I said on this show or on one of the times I've been on the air, I said it's one of the greatest things about DC. It was.
Yep.
And it was fun to see all those motorcycles. But at its core, this is a group of people that are not like the one percenters that have been in jail, that are real outlaw bikers. And that's why when you see them, when you see outlaws or Hell's Angels, it's like, okay, you're the real deal. We are all trying to look like you, which we are. You can't argue. The Harley Davidson apparel culture is predicated on wanting to look like Hell's Angels. Mm. It is.
Yeah.
Any way you slice it, there's no other way. You see the guys with the sleeveless, with the big tattoos, and you see that. They're trying to look. And by the way,
it's like Comic-Con.
It's permeated all of our culture.
Yeah, but I'm being honest here. Is it unhealthy? If it's something that passes your time.
No, I don't think it's unhealthy at all. I just think what it is kind of a, you want to be a tough guy. You don't want to go into a bar and crack a skull.
Yeah.
Or start a drug ring or sell weapons, to the cartel. So what you do is you buy a leather jacket or a leather vest and big clunky boots that are tough looking boots, and you buy a big badass motorcycle, and you throw maybe, if you don't have to wear a helmet, you might throw a bandana on, and you get on your motorcycle, and for a moment you're playing army. Yeah.
That's not a biker that's going to disagree
with me right now.
And I'll give you another parallel. I remember when I was when Todd got a Tesla, right? The first one he bought.
He was playing
Steve Jobs, right?
Right.
So I remember looking at clubs being like, I wonder if there's clubs that you can go and like show your Tesla to everybody. Cars and Coffee, right?
Right.
So there was. It met in Tyson's Corner at Tyson's 2.
Did you go to one of the meetups?
No, I didn't have a Tesla. So I never went. Can't show up in a Volvo.
Be like, well, hey. We like to congregate. Human beings like to congregate.
Find people who are like yourself and hang with them.
Is that Volvo and EV? No, sir. Full gas.
Look, you remember I went out to Sturgis with a bunch of biker guys. Nicest men in the world. Love those guys. Love those guys. Went to car. Jimmy still has his motorcycle. Jimmy has a ride twice a year, I think. Jimmy does a big ride.
Yeah.
Fantastic. If you're up in Virginia, it didn't work for me down in Florida. But make no mistake that is a... Am I wrong? That's not a wannabe kind of... You want to look like a tough guy for a day.
I miss interacting with tough guys at Harley-Davidson, Patriot Harley-Davidson. I miss seeing people. Like, it's just... Now these days...
I miss the real tough guys.
If I see a bike roll by, I'm like, oh, imagine the freedom with these roads wide open.
But also to be said, Oscar, when you see these tough guys that are in their leather and their boots and their beards and starting at a close of business on Friday right through Sunday night, they're very tough guys. But then you go to Patriot Harley-Davidson, which is a great place, but it looks like something in a shopping mall. It is glistening.
They had this beautiful matte black Harley-Davidson when we used to go there, Mike.
Yeah.
When matte black was
You almost wanted to dive in.
Oh,
and
my
do it,
God.
Right?
It was so cool. And then I realized I couldn't even ride my bike on 66 when I had one, so I said, no, thank you.
You remember Officer Jerky and his motorcycle club, the Renegade Pigs.
Oh,
they
of
were
course.
The closest thing.
That's the real deal.
Yeah, yeah. That's a real deal. That's pledging. That's prospecting. That's doing the other thing. The other ones that you have, and then you have, by the way, even though they are a police officer motorcycle club, they are the closest thing to a real motorcycle gang.
I remember going to a fundraiser. This is when I was just getting to know Jerky, who has been so kind to the show and myself personally.
Very nice man.
And I walked in, and I didn't know enough about the Renegade Pigs, so I went in like one of my disco suits to one of his events down in Georgetown, and I was like, this is different, because it's casual.
You showed up to a Pigs event in a suit?
No, like a very tight dress shirt and very tight pants.
I know the type of dress shoes you wear.
Yeah.
You know what? It's funny. I remember you talking about this event, but I don't ever think you mentioned the fact that you stuck out like this.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So T-shirt
and jeans is all you. Yeah. You could have gotten away with like an earth tone T-shirt.
I sidled up at the bar and I'm looking around. I'm like, maybe Jerky gave me the wrong address. And then I hear him on the microphone, and I was like, oh, I got to go say hi, let everybody know around me that I'm not an ARC. I'm not an ARC, and I'm here as a friendly.
What school do you go to?
And that club raises a lot of money to help officers and other people.
It was a charity evening at that bar. So.
I can see the outfit. You come in with your black pants and your Kiana shirt on.
He was dressed like an iPhone X. He was very sleek and very shiny.
For a long time, I loved that, being part of that. I rode my motorcycle to work for a long time.
Yeah. Yep.
But I began long before I got down to Florida, I began a slow descent into, for whatever reason, this is my own hang up. This is not what a lot of people suffer from. That descent into looking at every single time I would see a large motorcycle on the highway and I would see me riding it. I said, there it is. There's the uniform, the scowly kind of face, the little fat beard hair, just going on. I hated it. After a while, I hated that I looked like all those
I've
guys.
I've got just quick sidebar. And I'm
self-loathing would be the term I want to use.
Harley has a great center of gravity, especially for the larger man, right? So that helps.
You can put a 600-pound guy on a Harley. That's two wheels. Makes you feel like you're 120
flying.
It's a mistake.
There's a gentleman on the third floor of this building. He's super nice. I will not mention his name. They own like some architectural firm. They build buildings. Who knows? But he's got a BMW, more like a cruiser, right? And it just looks cool. It's got all the BMW colors on it. And I said, hey, like, do you just ride that from work here? He lives in Foxhall around the corner. He goes, no, I go to New York at least twice a week on it.
Wow. He's the real deal.
New York City? He said, yes. Not New York.
I have a quick story. This is about my friend Jimmy. Yeah. Jimmy and I, about several years ago, right around this time of year, mid to late June, Jimmy and I took a pilgrimage on a vacation that I had up to Laconia, or as it would henceforth be named, Rainconia, New Hampshire, for a biker rally up in Rainconia. We rode, I believe every day it poured rain. We were soaking wet every day. At a certain point, it was raining so hard, we simply pulled off and waited. We were making our way up there. At a road stop, I will never forget this. At a road stop, Jimmy and I, the wet dogs, came into this little seating area where they had like some, like an Auntie Annie's and maybe a McDonald's and stuff. We sat down and we're just all this dripping gear. All of our cruiser biker gear that we have, it's stuck to us, all right? At that moment, a man and a woman come in on one of those aforementioned BMW cruisers. Mm-hmm. They are wearing clothing that was a space age polymer that they got in, they take their helmet off, they are bone dry. They kind of say, I think he went like this with his jacket. I'm like, and we're like looking at them like basset hounds going, what right. do they have? And because all of our gear was black, had a big iron cross on it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Has a big, I went to Surges, you know, all that crap that is
super absorbent denim, Mike.
Yeah. They're wearing, you know, Elon Musk space suits and not a drop of water permeates that. And they got back. And I remember going, there they go back to. And right. that's not to mention the eyewear. We were 15 miles outside of Rainconia, right? 15 miles. And by the way, that's the same trip where the rain never stopped and it was going to rain all the way back. And we ended up getting a U-Haul. And that's when the bikes fell on top of each other. It was a disastrous trip. A disastrous trip. And I'll tell you, they have one skill in New Hampshire, and that's separating you from your money. That's what they want. Yeah, welcome to Sturgis of New England, only more of a ripoff, and zero women to look at all.
But other than
it
that,
it was, oh, it was horrible.
Oh, God, I love it.
We had one break in the rain outdoor band that Jimmy and I sat and had a couple of beers and listened to, and that was it. Other than that, no fun.
Man.
Other than that, just wet. No one up there. It was terrible. So the goggles were, I remember, 15 miles out. And I have these clear nighttime glasses on. And I'm driving 50 miles an hour on this motorcycle. And if you saw me in slow motion, I just threw them off.
You threw them off?
Because they got so, I couldn't do it. I was going to kill myself.
Right.
I literally could not see.
You flinged them off? That's awesome. Or
as Bruce Dern would say, I can't see.
My God.
It was horrible. But the biker thing was, I don't regret it, but I think even at, there are plenty of 65-year-old bikers out there, but sure. I outgrew it. Mm-hmm. I don't understand what the attraction was, but I, for a time when I got on the motorcycle, I think the attraction for me was actual riding. It was fun. And I still recommended it. But you said Harley is having a tough time. Are we dying off, the Harley culture? Are we getting too old? Why is Harley having such a difficult time?
Well, I'm curious about that. Their core audience pre-COVID, it was happening. Just accelerated so much so that they're closing. They announced a handful, like I would say not a handful, hundreds of executive layoffs. And they announced, like I would say, a good portion of their shops will be closing across the country. Mm. And what was really sustaining them for a while was the work overseas, because that American brand is still iconic in Asia.
So you don't know the metrics that are specifically driving the business down, because it would be an activity
kids
are not want to do.
Well, at least look, I don't know what these latest, quarterly numbers are for Harley, but I'll tell you that the things that we think are stupid, like driving, riding without a helmet, at least for me, and people still like, this is so cool to do. The younger kids, like Julia's age and past that graduated, they're not going out and buying. They're not buying Harleys. They're buying like an electric vehicle.
They're buying Hondas and Subarus is what they like. Little efficient cars. Yeah.
Well, then I wrote it down, and it just proves what I've said all along. They're brighter than we are.
A lot brighter. They are.
Come down to Florida.
Yeah.
Come down to Florida. Hey, by the way, not one, two now at Cocoonville Country Club. Two cases.
Two positives?
Keeping trap. Yeah.
Oh, right. No.
Can you see the eyebrows up to the forehead level going, well, does that mean we shouldn't go anymore? I'm glad I left when I did. Anyway, yes, baby boomers. Is that me? Am I a baby boomer?
You are,
being born in 1959, I'm a baby boomer.
On the very edge of it. 61 is when X starts.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Gen 61 X? To 81 is Gen X, I believe.
Oh, I miss Gen X.
I'm right in the middle. I am dead center, 1971, right in the middle of Generation X.
Or as I like to call my generation, children of the greatest generation. The children of the greatest generation that came back from the war. And Katie barred the door. Meanwhile, now we're just like, we want to be tough. We want to be tough. All right, so that's it. Anyway, to all my Harley friends, I still love you, and I'm glad you're riding. And I still might get a rental one day and ride. Beautiful place to ride up here, okay? But for now, for all the people that I had one-on-one conversations with, a lot of close talkers, Brush and Floss. Thank you. Brush and Floss.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Welcome to Shawshank.
Mr. Hadley, do you trust your wife?
Oh, that's funny. You're going to look funnier sucking my dick with no teeth. Step aside, Mert. This is having himself an accident.
You don't push him off the roof.
Because if you do trust her, there's no reason you can't keep that $35,000.
$35,000?
All of it.
All of it?
Every penny.
You better start making sense.
If you want to keep all that money, give it to your wife. The IRS allows a one-time only gift to your spouse for up to $60,000.
Oh, shit. Tax-free?
Tax-free. IRS can't touch 1 cent.
You're that smart banker would kill his wife, aren't you? Why should I believe a smart banker like you? So I can end up in here with you?
It's perfectly legal. Go ask the IRS. They'll say the same thing. Actually, I feel stupid telling you this. I'm sure you would have investigated the matter yourself.
Yeah, f***ing A. I don't need no smart wife-killing banker to tell me where the bear in the buckwheat.
But you do need someone to set up the tax-free gift for you, and it'll cost you. A lawyer, for example.
Bunch of bastards.
Right. I suppose I could set it up for you. That would save you some money. If you get the forms, I'll prepare them for you, nearly free of charge. I'd only ask 3 beers apiece for each of my co-workers.
Co-workers, get him. That's rich, ain't it?
I think a man working outdoors feels more like a man if you can have a bottle of suds.
And to crawl to freedom through 500 yards of smelling foulness I can't even imagine. Or maybe I just don't want to. Yards. That's the length of 5 football fields. Just shy of 0.5 mile.
It is said that the people are revolting.
You said it. They stink on ice.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana.
And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike. Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show for the Podcast Village Studios in our nation's capital. This is the Mike O'Mara Show, heard everywhere from Antelope, California to Hyattsville, Maryland, Downington, Pennsylvania, Atlanta, Georgia, Denby in Newport News, Virginia, and of course right up here in Hancock County, Maine. How the hell are you? Good to see you. Our show today brought to you by Cornerstone. We're finally seeing some signs of stabilization in the housing and mortgage market, so it's more important than ever to work with a friend you can trust and trust the team at Cornerstone First Financial, right in our building, right on Wisconsin Avenue, Washington, D.C., right down on the bottom floor. Good folks. The new normal we have to adapt to at Cornerstone First has emerged as a leader as we get in there. And by the way, rates are looking really, really good right now. Listener Kristen, who talked about the great experience she had, you can do the same thing. They have a low rate guarantee. They are a lender and a broker that allows them to have all the programs available, and a retail bank can't do that. Call my friend Mark Livingstone at Cornerstone First Financial, 202-625-1221, or online at cornerstonefirst.com. And that's right, interest rates now on a 30-year fixed have fallen into the twos.
Two.
Take advantage twos. Of that. We'll come out of this together. Cornerstone First will be there for you. 202-625-1221 or cornerstonefirst.com. Cornerstone First Financial. Personal attention from application to closing. It's time for our TMOS talking head. We're going to meet him in just a second. I wanted to say, Rob and I did not compare notes on Shawshank, but the fact is that clip you played, I watched the entire movie for first time in years.
So did you really? That's so weird.
All over cable. And I watched The Shawshank Redemption, one of the great movies of all time.
Cool.
Very, very cool. All right, it's time for our TMOS talking head. We haven't done it in a while.
Oscar, make sure he's unmuted so he can hear us.
On it.
Awesome, thank you.
Is he on? Greg, can you hear us? Thumbs up if you can hear us, Greg. We'll see what
can
happens.
Can you not hear us?
I don't know.
He's
if
not
he can
hearing
hear
us right now.
Oh, okay. Well, then I got to. Well, let me fix that. Apologize.
Let me tell you about our listener. His name is Greg Wilson. He is a nice guy. He's got a great letter. We'll share it. Lives in Benicia. I think it's Benicia, California. Works in San Francisco. He got up at 4:15 this morning to do our show today. He's married. His wife's name is Leah. He has a 10-year-old son, Finley, and has a dog named Rosie. And here's his letter. Hey, Rob, I'd like to throw my face into the hat to be one of your talking heads. I've been a fan since the 90s. I first got hooked on talk radio because I drove a car with no clock in it. So I had to listen to stations that always gave out the time. That's funny.
That's great.
Union stagehand
so cool.
The head tech at a theater in San Francisco. That sounds like fun. I've worked with many showbiz luminaries. Gene Stapleton. Wow.
Yeah.
That is so cool. BB Newirth. Bitch on Wheels. You're not the first person that said that.
True.
Brian Dennehy. Oh, the late Brian Dennehy. I guess it's the late Gene Stapleton, too. Brian Dennehy, the only actor to ever yell at me from stage in front of a live audience. I got to hear that story. And Jason Alexander, to whom I told my most embarrassing failed joke attempt ever. If those weren't enough great things, I also own a lot of audio gear so I can get a mic set up, blah, blah, blah. He goes on, this is Greg, and Greg Wilson from California. Greg, thanks for coming on the show. Woo. How are you?
Hi, Greg.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
It's going great. It looks beautiful and very California. The shot you've got looking out onto what seems to be a rural part of Northern California. Would that be accurate?
Yeah, it's just my backyard. I realized I had to go outside or I was going to wake my whole family up. So I had to do this.
That's awesome.
That is not a HD Zoom. That's a real backyard.
Yeah, that's his yard.
Yeah, that's my backyard.
Holy ass. Yeah. That's amazing.
It was so funny. We were setting up last night, and I said, the lighting's a little off. He said, don't worry. It'll be pitch black by the time you call me in the morning. I said, okay. So when I checked him with, it was a quarter after five his time this morning. Five his time. And we looked, and it looked like a haunted tiki bar because it was just jet black behind him with all his patio stuff. Very cool set.
Looks like John Wayne's going to come over the mountain there saying, I'm wrestle me a grizzly and kiss me a pretty girl, and I hope I don't get the two mixed up. So you are, that is how you make your living. You are in the theater biz in California?
Yeah, for about
California.
20 years. Been a union stagehand, over 20 years.
So you do primarily live theater, is that correct?
Live theater, yeah. I'm usually the lighting guy, but I do a little bit of everything.
Wow, that's gonna be interesting and fun, I would think.
Oh, it's a lot of fun. I've been doing it since I was a kid in like community theater. I started when I was 13. I was a theater guy in high school, like Rob, you know, and I just went with it after high school and been doing it for 20 years.
Lighting is an art, Mike, as you know. You can have all the greatest gear in the world, and you can buy all the lights that do everything that give you, the bright daylight, and or gives you what they
colors,
call tungsten, all everything. But if they're used wrong, then there's no way you can actually get what you want out of the equipment. So,
well, one of the things we do, you know, as far as since we're talking about it on the Mike O'Mara show, is that, you know, we do we spend a tremendous amount of time working on our lighting, and we actually care about it, and the thing about the lighting that we do is that we have, you know, we pay attention to it.
Sure.
And I have found that
you look you're on the set of Chernobyl through the Geiger counter.
Exactly.
We're
speaking to the Emperor
lighting guy.
Yeah.
The Michael Maris show would like to introduce the fact that we are now thermo screening all of our so in the event that one of our cast members has come down with the COVID, you will notice a slightly different look. And you know, I've been socializing an awful lot since I arrived up here. Let me see how the eyes look.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
Hey, look at that blue eye.
The blue really pops,
really
Mike.
Cool.
Looks nice.
All right, now I'm going to get this back to normal, back to 50% with that. There we are. So how long have you been a fan of this show, Greg?
This podcast in particular, since the day before your very first show. I mean, I've been a fan since the 90s because I had to listen to talk radio to figure out what time it was when I had a car with no clock. And And I actually got introduced to Don and Mike through another show you were having a radio feud with. And I kind of outgrew that show. And I
was that the Opie and Anthony show?
Yeah, it was. And I used to love them. And then when I started listening to you guys, I stopped liking them for some reason. I don't know what happened. And then I was just hooked.
It was a terrible radio feud, and one that we butted heads with a lot of disc jockeys over the years. The nature of the beast that you would have little radio wars. The Opie and Anthony radio war was unique due to the fact that we were on the same station with them up in New York. And so when we went up there and realized that that they weren't going to play nice with us, it was horrible because we'd given up our afternoon drive slot to do middays and given them the afternoon slot so we could be on in Philadelphia and New York City. And it was that important to us. One of the judgments I probably regretted the fact that we did that because it didn't work out that well. Separate hallways up at WNEW in New York, walking down separate hallways so we wouldn't have to interact with them at all. It was just a horrible time. Really horrible time.
I was wondering how real it was. The feud.
It was real. It was real. Yeah. There was no niceness off air at all. It was kind of... And then later on, I remember being no longer involved with Opie and Anthony, and they had gotten canned for the Sex in the Church thing. And I remember feeling, I'm not proud of this, feeling great joy that they had been fired because I was, we always kind of took it personally with them. I think I early on met Anthony Cumia and I think they had some sort of reception when we were coming up there at WNEW.
It was like a little mixer when went up there.
I remember sitting off to a side at a table with Anthony and having a really nice conversation with him. And then, I remember that Opie, very little to do, very, very tough guy to deal with. He was prickly. He was, and I think when you look at that run that Opie and Anthony had, and then later on that Opie had, with Jim Norton, Opie butted heads with everybody. And it was tough for him, Jimmy's pretty open about it, isn't he, Oscar?
The radio file me right now has his pants around his ankles. And,
and you know,
tell
Don,
me more about hanging out.
Don decided to call them one day, and they hung up on him a bunch of times and embarrassed him.
I listened to that. Oh, my God. I was in a gasoline-filled WHFS van driving in traffic with no AC saying, I don't care if I pass out. I'm going to continue listening to this show.
And I know
show.
You laughed your ass off because they hung up on him about 9 times.
I was mortified. Yeah. I was mortified and I wasn't even friends with you guys.
We're like, don't call again. Please don't call again. Don't call again. it was strange. But the Whip It Out Wednesday was one of the great misogynistic promotions in radio history of women showing their breasts. Did you ever? That's how I judge your level of fandom for Opie and Anthony. Did you have a wow sticker on your car
not
without
a
clock?
No.
Well, that's good. And don't you think in these times, Mike, it's time to bring that promotion back?
No, God.
In the Me Too era.
Can you imagine? Jesus Christ.
That's the backstory of it,
though. That ended up getting me hooked on you guys. And then when you went off the air, for some reason, I was like, I miss Mike O'Mara. I wonder what he's doing. And I Googled you, and some news thing came up that says your podcast is starting tomorrow. It was the day before your very first show.
Oh, so cool. I love that. Wow.
That's cool.
And I've been listening ever since.
The California phenomenon of the Don and Mike show is something that will always be special to me, that we were doing very well in Washington, D.C., and then we syndicated. And I think at our zenith, Rob, we probably had maybe 48 markets
around the
country. It was a small syndication that we had, but enough to keep this podcast going around the country, which makes me so
largest
happy.
Largest markets are the DMV in California.
Yep.
The thing about it is that to have the syndication and then suddenly realize that all the way across the country that your show is not only as popular, but more popular in another city, Sacramento, California, and that area. It was I just could not believe it, landing at an airport, putting 10,000 people in the Sacramento Valley Amphitheater. It was It's still special.
It's huge.
The thing is, Mike, we've never landed in any of the D.C. airports and had people there with signs. That's never happened.
We've never been chased in a limousine by people cars that wanted to know where we were going.
I forgot about that.
It was a moment it was our Beatles moment that we had for a little while there. And it's always been special. And then Don ultimately moved out to the area because, it was a good place to land. And the California thing is, I've traveled with listeners in California after late nights to bars out in the wild that I
Davis.
Don't know. How now? So are you between David Folsom? Are you Chico? Right?
Yeah.
That's it. Are you a native California? You've lived there all your life?
Yeah, Bay Area my whole life. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. That is awesome. So you've been with us the whole run, and it looks like you do. You live on some kind of farm out there, or
it's a compound, isn't it?
It just looks good on camera. It's not a huge spot. No, I mean, we're in a little city, but we're about halfway between San Francisco and Napa.
Oh, beautiful. That's
neat location. Mike, I got to ask him a question because we did a little pre-interview yesterday, and he mentioned some of the celebrities that he's worked with in his theater world. He says he's never even told his friends the Jason Alexander story.
Ooh.
He said it's that embarrassing.
Oh.
And I said, well, then I'm going to have to ask you about Jason Alexander tomorrow on the show. Can you please favor us with your Jason Alexander story?
Yeah, so I've done two shows with that Jason Alexander directed, and I was a huge Seinfeld fan. So he would sit and tell Seinfeld stories, and I had to like act cool, like I wasn't going nuts inside. And one day we went, and we weren't like really close, but we were on a first name basis.
Sure,
we went to lunch or we went to dinner one day. The theater had a restaurant upstairs, and there was just four of us at the table, and I could tell people were looking at us like, George Costanza's eating dinner. And so I'm thinking I'm pretty cool. And at the time, there was Roman Polanski was in the news for some reason.
Okay.
And Jason Alexander was asking our opinion on Roman Polanski. And he was basically saying, look, I don't care what he's directed and how well he's done. He's got no right to get away with something like what he did. And
pedophile.
Yeah. And Jason was really on the right side of that. And we all agreed. After we ate dinner, we're outside waiting on the elevator. And the other thing in the news at the time was Dave Letterman had gotten caught with his intern.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. Okay. Yeah.
Uh-huh. I remember that. Yeah, I remember that. Mm-hmm.
And so while we're waiting on the elevator, Jason Alexander says, so what do you guys think about that Dave Letterman thing? And I think this is my time to shine. So I say, Jason, I think he did such a good job handling that I'd let him have his way with my teenage daughter.
Oh, God.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
That was the longest wait for an elevator I have ever. It was like, dead silence.
Not even a laugh. Not even a smile. You're trying to be edgy. Listen to us. We're all going to go. You got the right audience here, don't you?
Yeah.
You know what? You've saved that story for the right audience. Isn't that horrible? And I I'm the father of two daughters, so I understand. I would sacrifice the humor of my children. I would never really. But so he did not. So he obviously felt strongly about that. Was he prickly?
Yeah.
Was he prickly in real life? No.
No, he was wonderful. He was a really nice guy.
Okay. Showbiz Luma. You mentioned BB Newirth. That was difficult.
She has a
reputation for that, right? The people have written about that. What made her so difficult?
So I was a production manager on a show she came to San Francisco with, and there was a mistake had happened in New York on this show where a door just happened to close. I mean, they pulled a door from the basement of this theater to put on her set, and it happened to swing closed after she walked through it, and she needed that action duplicated in San Francisco. And I had learned, well, this was an accident. It wasn't even supposed to close. And we had springs and hydraulics and none of it would work. And she just threw a fit because the thing wouldn't work. She also wouldn't let the stagehands eat potato chip or Doritos. She wouldn't let them eat Doritos like in their little crew break room because she said the smell of the Doritos would affect her singing voice.
Oh my God! Ladies and gentlemen in the theater community, you want to find out how you get a reputation? You get a reputation with things like that. You know? It's like, oh my God, where she's up there going, midnight. Who's eating Doritos?
My brother was actually a stagehand on that show. And I found out years later, probably 15 years later, that his son got ill and she cut a big check to my brother when he had to take time off work.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, well, I've hated this woman for 15 years. Now you're telling me she helped out my nephew?
Yeah. I mean, you get those.
What you should do is tell her that he used the money to buy Doritos.
Oh my God! Well, Greg, listen. Yeah, this
Wait,
is
not the Dennehy story. You wanted to hear the Dennehy story.
Oh, the Brian Dennehy story. All right, we have time. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah,
that's a quick one. So I did a show with Brian Dennehy, and I was the only person backstage. It was just me and him. He never talked. He came in right on time. Went straight to his dressing room. Straight on stage. I was running some video equipment. He was doing a show. He was playing Dalton Trumbo.
Yeah,
and there was
Trumbo with the Bryan Cranston movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And on the very last show, after he takes his bow at the end of the show, he goes and he's giving a speech to the audience about how great this run has been and how wonderful. Well, it's the last show. So I start loading out and I'm packing up video gear and I drop something and it made a really loud noise that he could hear on stage. And he stopped his speech and looks over and says, "What in the hell is going on over there?"
But a good guy? I mean, did you have any contact with him at all outside of that?
No, just to say, "Hi, Mr. Dennehy, they're ready for you to go on stage now." That was the extent.
He's a worker, man.
He wasn't a bad guy. He was perfectly pleasant.
Of all the theatrical productions you've been involved in, is there one that you truly felt was more special than the others? I mean, you've obviously done a lot of live theatrical productions, and being behind the scenes, it's a tough question. But
does Cats go through there?
Cats, not through my theater. No, I did work on the show Stomp for two and a half years. I worked on Stomp, and that was pretty rough. That's just banging garbage cans around.
So noisy, very noisy show.
Yeah,
I worked on Dame Edna
for a while.
Oh, you worked it. You met Dame Edna.
I did.
That's like one of my heroes. Is Dame Edna dead? Did Dame Edna die?
I think alive. Let me double check.
All right, check. Yeah. How was Dame Edna to work with?
It was kind of strange because he would walk in.
You think?
I think his name was Barry and Ben Barry, I believe his name, would walk into the theater and say hi to everybody, and then he would go do his costume change, and Dame Edna would walk out of the dressing room and completely in character the whole time backstage.
Really?
Yeah, talking
Barry Humphries, Mike. Dame Edna, Barry Humphries, still alive at 84. 86,
not
86.
Performing, I would imagine. Maybe not performing anymore. I'm not sure. He's aging out.
The web page is sadly out of date.
God, Charlie Daniels, Dame Edna. Everybody's in their 80s
all
now.
All your heroes.
Ringo Starr. What's going on, you know? I got 20 years, folks. I got 20 years. Thank you. That's the way I'm looking at it. Well, Greg, thank you for popping in. We love doing this every Friday, getting a chance to meet a listener. Is there anything you wanted to say before we cut you loose here?
No, just thanks for having me, guys. It's been a lot of fun.
Greg Wilson, appreciate that.
Thank you,
keep
Greg.
Doing theater
Thank
out in
so
San
much.
Francisco. We appreciate thanks, that. And best to your wife and your daughter. And what's your dog's name again? I'm sorry?
The dog? I got a dog named Rosie and a son named Finn. Finley Michael.
Aww. Finley and Rosie. Fantastic. Thank you. We'll take a break, and we will come back with more on The Mike O'Mara Show.
If you'd like to learn more about The Mike O'Mara Show, the Library of Congress recommends these books. These Boots Were Made for Fighting, The Jabrils of Madison County, and Fascinating Cheeses of Western New York. These and many interesting books aren't found in your local library, but if you'd like to read more, shop Walmart and Target through the TMOS Shopping Center and share your favorites at the TMOS Fans Book Club and Recommendations page on Facebook. We'll be happy to help you read more about it.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by the TMOS Patron Society. No doubt these are crazy times and it calls for desperate measures. God. Oh, I'm so proud of that line. And we announced the TMOS Patron Society. Didn't want to. We held off as long as we could. Simply put, we're asking for your help. We need you to go to MikeO'MaraShow.com, click on the Patron Society banner, and make a pledge to TMOS. $1, $5, $10 a week, any amount you want, one time, weekly, recurring, Doesn't matter. Your patronage is what will guarantee our future. TMOS needs you, and you can make a difference. Everybody told us to do this. We finally pulled the trigger during these tough times. We know you get it. We appreciate it more than you know. Your support is a testament to the fact that you value us as much as we value you. If you can contribute, please do. Your support means the world to us now more than ever. We appreciate you, and thank you. We are super late. We've, as we always do on Friday, we lost track of the show. We have time right now for me to share with you my my weakness in Maine, my food weakness.
You've been teasing this all week. Come
finally.
On.
Finally.
Did I give any kind of indication as far as what it is?
No.
No. You said all it was right, native to the area, but that's it.
I think it's native to the area, but it may not be. But I think it is. I'm pretty sure it is.
Well, we can
it's
find out.
It's one of my favorite things up here. And I've been... you know, I've been doing this intermittent fasting, and as sure. I told you, my cousin Teddy had the line. I said, yeah, we stop eating at 5, and we start the next at 11. He said, at night, which I thought was still the funniest line I've gotten up here. But I do have my little weakness, and I don't do it regularly, but I do indulge myself, and I'm a little obsessed when I get up here. It's one of the first things I eat, and I will entertain questions.
Is okay. it a fruit? Does it have anything to do with fruit?
Absolutely not. Disgusting.
Mm. Oh, you know, I was saying blueberries. That's why they're just saying it because, you know, Maine.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, you know, no, it doesn't.
Okay.
Matter.
All right.
Is Oscar? It a type of meat?
It is not a type of meat.
Mm. Damn.
Does it have to do of the sea?
Absolutely not of the sea. That would okay. be kind of trite, right? If it was lobster or
yeah,
clams
that's a,
or something like that.
I'm just trying
like
to
that.
Eliminate
I will say. I will say that this is sweet, not savory.
Oh, even better. Okay, is it a milk-based product?
Yes.
Yeah, perfect.
Rob? Ah, is it served like revenge cold?
Yes, it is. Yeah. You're rapidly narrowing it down.
Just got to find out the flavor, Oscar.
is the place where you indulge in the town, near the town you live?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it in Bar Harbor?
No, it is not.
Oh.
Okay.
But you could get it in. You could get this in Bar Harbor.
All right, Oscar. I think it's time for you to make your guess.
Oh God, I. This is what's terrible. I don't remember the name of this place, but it's the place where Mike gave away masks to people in line. It's a ice cream joint down the road.
It is an ice cream joint.
Yes.
Yeah, which would indicate that I've identified the food stuff we're
yeah.
talking about.
Yeah, but I don't know the flavor. Yeah. I know it's not the lobster ice cream because that did not get
no,
a good
that's
review.
No, that's disgusting.
That did
Didn't
not
like
get
that.
A good review.
It's a touristy, nasty thing. That's Giffords in Bar Harbor.
Giffords!
Or no, that's Ben and Bill. Ben and Bill.
I'm sorry. Ben and
Giffords,
Bill.
Giffords was in yeah. Arlington 40 years ago.
I taught last year. But that's the brand of ice cream
yeah.
that's oh, okay, served yeah. at this particular place. But Ben and Bill's, you go in there at Bar Harbor, you know, get off of, you know, the cruise ship is, here's your ice cream cone for $14.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank
mm-hmm.
you.
Nice waffle
no.
cone, though.
Yeah, but right. the Vindom loves to do an excursion. Vindom will
By the
let
way,
you do an excursion
I enjoy
there.
The original version of this ice cream.
Okay, then this is, it's something with a chocolate with a mix in, I know, right?
Yes.
Is it Moose Tracks?
It is Moose Tracks,
yes!
Rob!
Oh, damn!
Original Moose Tracks, the delicious, delectable combination of vanilla ice cream, melt in your mouth, peanut butter cups, and famous Moose Tracks fudge.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. That's it. It's, boy, is it yummy. You get everything. You get a little of
I've
everything.
I've never
in
had
there.
Moose Tracks.
Oh,
all these years.
Boy, you probably
Today's the
hate
day.
It.
Today's the day. You get Moose oh, Tracks yeah. and chicken nuggets.
You can get Moose Tracks, right? Can
anywhere.
You
go, anywhere.
Yeah, outside of the state of
yeah.
Maine.
Yeah.
But it's but we have mooses up here. So, you know. Come over
native.
For moose soup
it's
after.
Native.
We'll take a break. We'll come back with more fun. Moose Tracks. I'm addicted. Thank you very much. Hello, friends. Jeff Goldblum here. How are you? Yeah, you're great. I know you are. You're looking at me like that. Listen, I love to listen to the Mike O'Mara show on my Alexa, but I'm scared of it. Yeah, I'm scared. It makes me nervous. It's like it's watching me. But really, if you're not as scared as I am, well, first of all, congratulations to you. And tell Alexa to play the Mike O'Mara show. And Bob's your uncle.
Mm-hmm.
Still terrified. Jeff Goldblum checking out. Thanks, Jeff. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Ring. We're all home more than usual these days, but it's still hard to keep a close eye on things. More deliveries mean more boxes left unattended and more chances for packages to go missing. Oscar and I were talking about that before
yes.
the show. I blame the threshold thieves. Dastardly varmints. They irk me like nobody's biz. Luckily, with Ring, you can keep your home safe no matter where you are. Ring is on a mission to make neighborhoods safer, and they do. From video doorbells and security cameras to smart security lighting and alarm systems, Ring has everything you need to make sure your family and belongings are safe and secure anytime, anywhere. Yep. I have the Ring floodlight cam. I don't know how long I've had it, but I've had it a good long time, and
the
bulb's still working.
Yeah,
fantastic. Awesome. Can't be any better. When I decided to head up to Maine, I knew I could keep track of Florida with a glance at my phone. It's great. You're going to love Ring. Get a special offer on the Ring Welcome Kit when you go to ring.com/TMOS. Get your Ring doorbell. Tell them that we told you to get
yes.
it, please. The Welcome Kit has the Ring Video Doorbell 3 and Chime Pro. It's all you need to start building a custom security ring for your home today. Just go to ring.com/TMOS. That's ring.com/TMOS, and you will find out, like we know, that Ring technology is the best. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. All right, We I'm so sorry we're so late today. It's just that we spent all
it
that time.
It was worth it, though. Greg was a great
Greg
guest.
Greg was a 10.
Note to self, don't make long monologue on Friday's show. TikTok.
Yes.
Did a dive. Well, it's explain to me. I've heard things about the Chinese government stealing your soul
Chinese!
With TikTok.
Well, let me take 18 seconds and play an actuality from the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, talking about social platform TikTok, okay?
With respect to Chinese apps on people's cell phones, I can assure you the United States will get this one right too, Laura. I don't want to get out in front of the president, but it's something we're looking at.
Would you recommend that people download that app on their phones?
Only if you want your private information in the hands of the Chinese Communist Party.
The Chinese Communist Party, Mike. They're going to get your info on TikTok.
So I have surfed TikTok, and that means now the Chinese have all my info.
Did you watch or did you actually sign up and download the app? Because you can just watch online.
I think I watched online. I think
then you're safe, Mike.
What did you watch online?
Crap, basically.
Oh, crap!
Stupid. TikTok, correct me if I'm wrong, is stupid human tricks,
oh,
right?
Oh, no, Mike. Depends on what you watch and who you subscribe to and who you're a fan of.
I forgot.
Yeah.
We are dealing with the horn doggy of horn doggies.
No, I'm in touch with what's going on with the world.
I know what's going on. Yeah, but I mean, I know why. From what you just said, I know why you like the TikTok.
Do you know who gets the most followers on TikTok?
Khloe Kardashian.
No, great dancers, Mike. Great dancers.
It's
the land of the pervert.
You literally get on there
and see people dancing, and you best believe at times I'm like, I don't know if she's 18. Let me move on to somebody else.
Do they do that trending thing? Do they have the trending thing on TikTok?
Yeah. Of course.
Like, I'm
they'll
on
have
now,
challenges. So. They'll have where.
The wipe challenge was very hot
was
a couple
fun.
Weeks ago. Yeah.
Like wipe your ass?
No. It's like you're wiping the mirror and then you wipe.
That was just in Manassas.
So the wipe challenge is perfect. You know how some girls look completely different when they're not wearing makeup, and then some girls
they're made up,
look
right.
different. You know what I mean? Or the same, depending on natural beauty.
Mm. Well, I'm seeing a couple, a very cute couple right now. She is just a doll.
Yeah.
Mm. And they're cute.
I would say TikTok is not the land for the uggos. If you're making a lot of videos, you're probably attractive.
Yeah.
Or famous in one way or another, at least from what I've seen. The Chinese government angle is because it's.
Well, the Chinese own TikTok, right?
Not the Chinese. The government in China, when you start a company, the government has the powers to put their meat hooks in the company. That's just the way it's set up. So they technically have control over that entity.
I'm watching one right now.
Yes.
It's a guy. Is that my dog that's doing that right now? Is that my dog that you hear in the background?
Not our dog.
No. Right.
Winslow, shut up. Anyway, so
Luna is Luna is asleep.
I'm watching a guy with an ugly it clown mask that puts a sticker of an electrical outlet on a building, and it's not a real electrical outlet. And then when the lady comes over to plug in the
The pranks are funny.
He jumps out and he pranks her.
Yeah.
So that's fantastic.
That would work better in an airport, I think, if you had an outlet sticker.
Why don't you Google this
in.
On YouTube? Sexy TikTok.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there you go.
That's good. And then also lock the door.
And then change the history. Because Carl's going to have some questions.
Sexy.
Mm, delete you, those cookies.
Have you walked in on your daughter or son making a TikTok video?
Most Rob, sexy girls no. TikTok. It's a YouTube video, but is that
yeah, that counts.
They'll share it. I don't think Julia's on the TikTok.
Well, we didn't know about Julia Jellybean either, did we?
Well, no, we didn't. Right. But I'm a little more in touch with her now.
Right, for go. Those 8 days, she didn't make one TikTok video.
Okay. All right, I'm going to have a nice evening tonight.
I thought that's where you're going with this. I'm like, well.
Yeah. No, I didn't know what it was all about.
The Chinese government God. May be involved, but there are some sweet dances on there, let me tell you.
Oh, sure. Lord. Oh, wow. Wow, this is fantastic. Yeah. I approve. This gets the Mike O'Mara thumbs up TikTok. Wow. Oh, well, yeah, absolutely.
Like Color Me Bad said, TikTok, yeah. You don't stop.
It's just a bunch of beauties dancing.
Mike. I didn't say your privacy isn't being hacked, but you know, yeah. We all
it's
have a price
tasteful.
To pay. We have
it's
a
relatively, we have it's a price relatively to pay. Tasteful.
Relatively you know? Tasteful, yeah. And you're not going to see that on Facebook. Facebook is still going to be mostly pictures taking of dinner. So, you know, it's wow. Two different platforms.
I have a
platforms.
Friend, his name's Schmosker. He said that if you are on, this is alleged. If you're yeah. on adult video sites, I don't know what they are, but if you're on there and you type in TikTok, there's also an extreme TikTok on there as well for people
like
that make
a,
videos.
Like a naughty TikTok?
That's what he said. But Schmosker, you know.
Has Schmosker researched it at all?
I don't get a chance to hang out with him enough.
Oh, that's yeah, actually, that's a different app. That's called Dick Talk.
Thank you. Rob! On that note, that's
kind of dance around
you are
it.
Such a dirty perv. You really
one
are.
Pun! Change know, one letter. Pun. That's it.
Oh, okay. We'll stop. We'll come back, and it is Oscar's take.
Oscar's
maybe
take.
Maybe something I take when we come back on the Mike O'Mara show. I got to get my eyes off the screen. I'm losing concentration on the show. Wow. Holy butt. All right.
Wow.
And now, King's Things.
Hi, I'm Larry. I still use a toaster I won in a World War II raffle. Of all the countries, Mexico makes the best jumping bean. I really don't mind the masculine woman. Hey, what's the deal with trees? I miss bellboys. I like sticky things. The grocery store clerk won't make eye contact with me. God, I miss the sound of manual typewriters, but not the taste. And when I need a laugh, I listen to the TMOS bonus show. Your passport to the assport, all right? Whoa, that's funny there, right? Yeah. Buy it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike.
Go away. Hi, how you doing? Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Brought to you by...
So real.
It was so real. It's like, Dad.
I'm going to pause it right there.
Mom's right here.
Oh,
stop
no,
staring
I don't
at that woman's
there.
Ass, please. It's embarrassing.
Do the thing like they do at the Apple store, Mike. Change the angle of your screen.
Yeah. Huh?
Change it. Oh,
my old I'm man would get it. Caught staring at women back. All the time. And I'd be like, Dad, come on. Show.
Brought to you by Noom. Oscar Santana, making an old man's life better. Anyway, this
hell
segment
of, weekend,
of the program. Oh, God. I got one guy that brings me all the funny in the world, and the other guy that shows me how to use technology to enhance my life. Anyway, this portion of the program
Dream
is brought
team.
To you by Noom. Crash diets are always temporary. If you want to keep those pounds off, you have to adjust your lifestyle. That's why Noom is for you. Noom helps users learn to develop a new relationship with food through personalized courses. Noom is not a diet. Let me make that very, very... It's a healthy, easy-to-stick-to way of life. And they have a food database that will help you track your food, know what you're putting in your body. It's ultra-helpful when you're cooped up at home. It's the best. Oscar and Carla have had amazing success on Noom. You don't have to change it all in one day. That's the important thing to remember about Noom. Small steps make big progress. Sign up for your trial today at Noom. That's Noom.com/TMOS. And as far as the food tracking that I use on Noom, it's a special thing when you might not think a belt loop is a big deal, but it's a special thing when you not only have moved up a couple of belt loops, but you don't notice it until you finally go, oh, by the way, that's interesting. What do you have to lose? Visit Noom.com/TMOS to start your trial today. That's Noom.com/TMOS, everybody. And now, without further ado, it's time
been a
for...
while.
It has been a while. It is time for
Oscars take.
Oscars take.
Woo!
I will not look at that screen. I will not look at that screen.
You are such a liar.
A review and a comment on the news of the day, as only our Bolivian Bluviator can do it. The views expressed by Oscar Santana do not in any way represent the views of the Mike O'Mara Show, its listeners, or the right-thinking people of the United States. I'm turning it off right now.
Right, that's good.
I just turned it off. I froze it.
That's
a read.
That's not turning it off. I froze it.
Oscar, this is Oscar's take.
Oscar's take.
Hi. Oscar, Senator Jeff Merkley, a Democrat from Oregon, is introducing a bill to ban airlines from selling middle seats during the pandemic. After he recently flew on American Airlines and was horrified by how they packed people into the plane. I know you have thoughts on this. I thought you might want to comment on it, but he's introduced a bill that said, no, you can't do that anymore, at least not until we get through this. What is your take on that?
Mike, you know, I'm a capitalist at heart, and I don't like big government getting involved.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But I'm with the senator.
Yep, me too.
If the government is bailing out airlines and really supporting that industry where they support them in the past, they support them now, and if they have say to give you money, I think they could also have say to say, look, we're all taking hits here. That middle seat is something that really does not have to be filled, especially when all the flights aren't necessarily filled. Unless you're taking flights off of the tarmac to increase the capacity and really pull through for your actual passengers, so you don't have that many choices, so then they're filled. Now, that being said, the airline could come back and say, look, we've done tests, and the air in, and I don't know if this is a talking point for airlines, but the air within the cabin with the new filters is actually cleaner than the air in a regular office building.
Yeah, it's interesting. I just think the fewer people on a plane, it's an odds thing, and it's statistics. And I'd like to read more about
it. If I fly anywhere, Mike, in the next, let's say, 6 months, God willing, I don't have to, it'll be in a beekeeper's outfit, but with a full shield.
Yeah.
And I don't care.
Mike, according to the new chart, it's a 7 out of 10 danger to fly on a plane.
Oh, can that keep till Monday, that chart?
Absolutely. It's a beautiful full-color chart.
Rob has a COVID idiot chart for us on Monday that will tell us everything we need to do. You're listening to Oscar's Take, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, this is Oscar's Take.
Oscar, have you been thinking about riding out the pandemic somewhere kind of off the grid? If you have, the U.S. finally needs to get things under control. Here's an interesting option. Barbados has just announced they will be offering 12-month visas to anyone who wants to come to their country to work remotely.
Would Jack Kent Cook like that country, Mike?
Barbados.
They're hoping to attract some workers who help offset the economic losses they're suffering from the drop in tourism. They also think the 12-month time frame works better during the pandemic, where international trips can require long quarantines, both coming and going. Barbados has only had 98 coronavirus cases and 7 deaths. So all things considered, it could be a good place to ride out the storm. So Barbados.
Infrastructure. I can't believe that Barbados has a line of fiber that's been coiled underneath the Atlantic Ocean to get me some fast internet. So if Cox Cable or Comcast Xfinity does not exist there, I'm out.
Okay. Double check the fiber optics. You're listening to Oscar's Take, ladies and gentlemen. Oscar, American Addiction Centers polled 3,000 people, and the first 11 weeks of the pandemic, we spent 172 hours of it drunk. That's 7 full days plus 4 hours, and it's just the average. Here are the 10 states that have been the drunkest since mid-March. Mississippi, Maine. Maine.
Woo!
Georgia, Minnesota, Connecticut, Colorado, Montana, New Jersey, New Mexico, and coming in at number 1 with 468 hours drunk, 19 and a half days worth, that's South Dakota. They've spent that time drunk. States with the lowest numbers, this surprised me, Nevada, Idaho, Kentucky, New Hampshire, and Pennsylvania. Boo, Pennsylvania, come on. I'm surprised at that what my wife says about her home state of Pennsylvania, where they drink all the time.
We have to find a way to stimulate the economy. And if it's through liquor sales and the taxes we pay within liquor sales, I'll take that all day. And I actually have some inside, skinny on this subject, because I have a friend who works for the Reyes family. They own like a handful of spirits and beers and breweries around the country or the world as well. And I always like to ask him, like, hey, like, what's really moving these days? He said, like sales are up roughly 40%. And but regardless of those sales, the real caveat, and because you think all these liquor companies are doing just gangbusters, it's the bars. The bar to go orders have, and the lifting of the sanctions of like you can't sell liquor from bars.
Right.
Like that has really helped because that's where most of the alcohol is consumed, not from these package stores.
It's actual people bars. Going through a drive through and getting their booze to
Remember how
out.
You got your booze?
Oh, yeah. Our margarita mix. Thank you, Iguana Mia. That's wonderful. Yeah.
So, Mike, you're saying people have spent 160 hours, 160 hours drunk?
Yeah.
Wow.
Rob Speedwagon.
That's crazy.
Thank you very much. We contributed to that. You're listening to Oscar's Take.
Oscar's Take.
Finally, Oscar, those who aren't happy at home are finding other ways to get frisky. Illicit Encounters, the dating website for those seeking extramarital affairs, has experienced a 15% increase in activity based on this time last year. In a survey from the website, 54% of men said they had started affairs in the last 4 weeks. 74% of these men saying their reason for doing so,
yes,
boredom. That's what it is. Just welcome your take on that.
Yeah. Okay, look, I love my wife. We work together.
Just a little tip from this, bro. Yes. Pausing is not necessarily the best thing to do right here.
Well, I think he was waiting for the applause. Yeah, That's why I was helping him out.
Slow clap. I'm just saying that, and this probably goes for her as well. We've seen each other enough. We worked together. We were the COVID-19 together, like all the time, nonstop, my wife.
Right.
Mm-hmm. If she is in an illicit affair on Instagram or TikTok or wherever she may be doing her thing, I wouldn't blame her because it's a lot of FaceTime, Mike. And as much as you can love someone, the beauty of what we used to be before we got quarantined is we used to be apart at times. No problem.
It's a secret to a happy relationship.
I will actually stay at work sometimes and say, I got to really take care of this equipment upstairs and just sit alone in the dark because I need alone time. I need alone time just for old Fantana for 2 hours without any questions. So,
Oscar, are you saying really, if she were to have an affair, you'd be okay with it?
I would understand at this point. I would understand.
Okay, then I need Very to talk generously. To you after the show.
That's Oscar's take. We're going to take a break. I will not be watching TikTok videos during the audio vault. I will not be watching TikTok videos during the audio vault.
Oh, dear.
We'll take a break. Come back with Rob Spiewak right after this, everybody.
In the latter years of the 2000s, a crack team of disc jockeys was thrown off the air, innocent victims of a format flip. These men escaped to the darkest reaches of the internet. Still wanted by their fans, they survive as podcasters. If you need laughter and no one else can help, and you have a smartphone, maybe you can download The Mike O'Mara Show.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program. It's The Mike O'Mara Show. www.mikeomarashow.com.
You know, I graduated high school in 1977. It was too early. Welcome back to The Mike O'Mara Show.
Well, they had TikTok back then, but it was on Super 8.
I just didn't realize there are that many beautiful people in the United States of America. Spectacular.
Mm-hmm. And they've all got time on their hands right now.
You know, sometimes I have to have a little voice in my head say, you are 61 years old. Act like it. All right? Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Today is a great day because at the conclusion of today's regular show, we get to let it all hang out on a brand new TMOS bonus show. We love doing it. No commercials, no censorship. All of our real bitching happens during bonus show. No rules. We even have a bonus show cheer. Two to do today. Yeah, we don't cheer, Rob. Yes, the bonus show is better than ever, so you don't want to miss it. It only costs pennies a laugh, and we do it topless. No, we don't.
T-O-P.
You're welcome, ladies.
Topless.
Just click the banner at MikeO'MaraShow.com. Today, we will be doing the bonus show topless.
Yes.
So be aware of that. Also, there are nearly 500 other commercial-free uncensored bonus shows available, and a subscription just might cure your anus eyes. I mean, really, you look like... It's your passport to the Asport. Copyright 2020. Support the TMOS bonus show. Sometimes you just can't put the letter in. You have to read the whole word.
It's always fun for me to know if you're going to do it or not. It's like rolling the dice.
Support the bonus show. I'm Mike O'Mara, and I guarantee I will not be watching TikTok videos during the audio vault.
Thank you.
And now back to upstairs, downstairs, already in progress. Let's open up the audio vault. Rob Spiewak, take it away. We don't have much time. We're running out of time.
All right, Mike, we're going to do a feature. Choose your news. Do you want to hear news from Bill Nye the Science Guy or news from Pinellas County, Florida?
Mike. I want to I want to hear it from the science guy. I like the science guy.
Okay, this is the funny thing about Bill Nye is that he built a career of being almost like a kid's host. He would dumb down science for kids. Pleasant guy. But when he is really passionate, he gets pissed off. And he does a great example about why we need to wear masks. I can't believe we're still doing this. He did an experiment where he tried to blow a candle out while wearing a mask, and he couldn't do it. I mean, that's just dumbing it down at a three-year-old level.
But it's great.
Level.
And he's a wonderful human being, and I love that he gets active, and he's active with telling people what they need to do.
Here is William Nye, the scientific guy.
The reason we want you to wear a mask is to protect you, sure. But the main reason we want you to wear a mask is to protect me from you and the particles from your respiratory system from getting into my respiratory system. Everybody, this is a matter literally of life and death. So when you're out in public, please wear a mask.
Please. By the way, he put that video on TikTok.
TikTok. Oh, yeah. Mike, what are you watching on TikTok?
Yeah, what's on the TikTok?
There is, it is simply a lady that is fully clothed.
What's her handle, Mike? Why don't you give her some credit? Maybe you can make her a star today.
She might be too young. It's Holly Leckie.
Oh, yes. 12-year-old Holly Leckie.
Stop it. If she's under 18, I'm going to be disgusted with myself. Continue.
Let's close. This is a two-part closer today. Okay. We'll do Pinellas Park on Monday because it's a great story. In the past, Mike, do you remember discussing the South American budget frog? The budget frog, we've had this before. Its defense mechanism is it screams, okay?
That's Carla when she hears this episode.
So what happens is we found, and this, I give credit to Matthew Bloom, Pony found a video of someone with a screaming frog. Now, frogs love the water, but he wondered what would happen if you picked up a screaming frog and put it in its water.
Oh, no! How dare you?
So one more time, right there. Yeah, screaming more time. Frog in water. Audio Vault. Have a great weekend, everybody. Be safe. Put on a mask.
Oh, my God. Thank you very much. We got to get out of here. Don't forget our bonus shows and our patron page and all that wonderful stuff, and support our advertisers this time more than ever. This is the time we need you.
Thank you. Please be
aware of that to keep the Mike O'Mara Show chugging along. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Mike O'Mara saying, thanks to Greg Wilson, too.
Yay, Greg Wilson.
Wonderful listener. Keep doing that theater out there. For Rob and Oscar, Mike O'Mara saying, so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeO'MaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Thank God it's Friday!
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
So what do you want me to do, drop my pants and fire a rocket?
I'm a phony! Just like you!
Bye-bye!